Do we have a bunch of New Mutants casting confirmations? Is there a world of Netflix announcements? And finally, is Spider-Man out in a month and thus a bunch of news is developing there? Probably yes, because you're watching Marvel Movie News!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Excelsior to you, merry Marvelites. Welcome to episode 134. That's a big number.
134 already?
It is.
Wow.
Real life. Every week it gets one bigger, but feels like 10. Yes. We are coming to you live from the Amalgam Universe because you see what I did there?
Yes.
I gave myself an excuse to talk about Wonder Woman, and
there
we
go.
Will.
Because that's canon, so we can do it.
In this universe today, we can. Episode 134 takes place in a very special place, the Amalgam Universe. We are here to tell you all the news from all the studios, including DC, that is about Marvel and why you should be as excited as we are. Now, you subscribe to us on iTunes at YouTube. No, I can't, every week. You can subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News. You can also find us on YouTube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can find us on Popcorn Talk's website. You can follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at Popcorn Talk. You can find us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. And if you tweet out a link to the show while we're live asking people to join us in the live chat, Doom is no longer here. But Rowdy Ronnie will retweet you.
Rowdy?
Rowdy Ronnie. Rowdy? I'm going a little wrestling for you.
I like that.
I went wrestling.
Rowdy Ronnie.
I thought that played for the week.
That is great.
It was in your honor.
Thank you.
And the wrestling honor.
Now I have to act rowdy, though, when I do the show. All right. I accept your challenge.
The Amalgam episode. So we are Marvel Movie News. I'm Coy Jandreau at C-O-Y-J-A-N-D-R-E-A-U. Joined by
Markeia McCarty at M-A-R-K-E-I-A-M-C-C-A-R-T-Y.
And we are joined by a very special guest on the couch. Good sir, welcome.
Hello, everybody. It's nice to see you. It's so great to be here. It's been so long since I've been trying to even talk about me for so long, and I feel like so much pressure right now.
Yeah!
Because Matt's talked about you. You've read all my tweets, and thank you very much for a couple weeks ago for reading my birthday shout-out to my girlfriend. So thank you very much for having me here.
Yeah, man. I ran into you at the movies back in December, and Matt ran into you guys in March, so it has been a half-year hype, and finally schedules have aligned.
So much pressure. Yes,
we did it.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Yes. Welcome, man. Yes. So today's news is basically
Did we say his name?
Oh, we didn't? No. Please, by all means.
So my name's Aaron.
Aaron!
So he'll get me Aaron. Aaron
Wilk. Attack on Titan.
At Twitter. So, you know. I did get tweeted by Birds, What Are They? So I felt like a little like for him. I was like, oh my God, I feel so special right now. Because it's
Birds,
such a great name.
What Are They?
I know.
So
now he's changed his name where it's Bark! Exclamation point.
Yes.
And then at Birds, at What Bark. Are They?
It's getting more
existential. I should be paying attention to this. I totally am.
I respect it, man.
So much credit.
So where can they find you on the interwebs?
At Twitter at Aaron Wilk, and also at Instagram if you want to follow my food adventures at Pork is Joy. So you can, I know.
Pork is, in fact, joy.
Yes, I know.
So we have a smattering of news today. Basically, like, there's not a lot of giant news, but there is
little bits.
Yeah, there's breadcrumbs.
It's enough to have an umbrella out.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And it's every studio basically released just enough for us to talk about everything, but none of it's groundbreaking. So we're kind of power through basically and smatter in the little bits.
Can we smatter with that robe, though? That thing is looking good, buddy.
I mean,
where you got that robe from.
we're going to start with a certain murk of the mouth, but I've got to thank Aaron for letting me borrow. This is an authentic post-credit scene Deadpool robe of glory.
Yeah, that's limited Marvel product right there. And again, it was because my girlfriend does enable my nerdisms. So I wanted to have you show it off for
Dude,
the show.
It is so rad. That's why the wrestling, I think, came out. That's why the Rowdy Roddy today.
Yeah,
because I just feel like the walkout.
Yeah, you're just feeling it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
so,
it kind of got maybe some Rhodes going on there with that beautiful cape. It's glorious.
I can live with that. So yeah. we're gonna start with Deadpool because I'm running the show today, and I am narcissistic that way. Deadpool producer basically came out and said, well, as you know, it's kind of implicit in the question. It just opens up a whole series of doors regarding Cable. I think that was part of what was so exciting of adding him to the mixes, not only what he brings as a character, and I think Brolin will bring to the part, which I think is just brilliant casting, but it expands the landscape again and gives us more flexibility and opportunity as one of the ways we can keep this franchise feeling vibrant and exciting and fresh by introducing elements that are exciting and dynamic and different. Excellent use of buzzwords, producer, because every one of those got me excited. He's like, what do the fans want to hear? Fresh, invigorating, exciting. And he's right. Like, I think everyone, when they found out it was Josh Brolin, there's a certain credibility added to it. When Brad Pitt was rumored, when Michael Shannon was so close.
So close.
There was so much, like, so it became a bigger thing. And you have to have escalations in sequels. You have to have a place to go where you don't feel like you're retreading. This isn't that noteworthy, but it is a producer fully endorsing a casting, fully giving us why we should be excited. And to follow into that, we have a glorious image that Ryan Reynolds tweeted.
This is a ridiculous image.
This is basically the reason that quote had to happen, so I could show this image off. Ryan Reynolds posted on Instagram a picture of Josh Brolin training, and it's basically a before and after. And, well, the before is Josh Brolin training, and the after,
which is a normal picture,
which is a guy working out hard, and the after is the lofty goals of Cable. And, you know, next to pouches, I'd say that kind of musculature is about as 90s as it gets.
Wow.
That's
like Street Fighter level with the muscles going on there.
I just love it so much. So, I mean, if you're going to go full 90s Cable, that's
like, what, Zangief?
That's the bar.
Yeah.
So, I just needed an excuse to talk about that glorious image and the fact that basically every social media Ryan Reynolds is on is as Deadpool, because they're one and the same.
And in the chat room, Neva R. Williams says, Madison, another dimension, cosplaying as Doctor Strange Fate, hashtag amalgam.
That's true. He has Strange Fate out there in the world.
Yes. Bring us your Lobo, bring us your Dark Claw.
Mackie confirms he is in the Amalgam Universe today, and it's glorious. Now, since you are here with me, yes, the next story naturally has to be...
Although, even if I wasn't here,
the next story.
This is noteworthy.
But I'm going to give you full credit and run with it. What do you think about this exciting news?
Okay, so the Black Panther villain, M'Baku, that's Man-Ape, who's played by Winston Duke, has been confirmed to be in Infinity War. And this is big news. And actually, this was broken on the website official Twitter account. This is big news because it shows that we are definitely going to have this beautiful, like, vignette, or just this beautiful slice of Wakanda life. This practically says that we're going to have Black Dwarf in Wakanda fighting Shuri, fighting Black Panther, and fighting M'Baku, which says a lot of things, because he's a rival. He's a rival for Black Panther, but he's a rival in the sense that, think of your super religious family members, if maybe you're not as religious as them and that you have differing views and that there can be like points of contention that happen there. You can kind of think of M'Baku as that, with that between him and Black Panther. Mm-hmm. It's totally different religions. He's white gorilla cult. They're endangered species, but they eat their meat and they, you know, they're imbued with their power. But the fact that they are coming together to fight against Black Dwarf, which I'm very certain that that's going to happen.
And the fact that we see the building of the universe through Black Panther with this casting. Like, yes, we see where that's going to tie in. We see where it's going. I love that just knowing he's in it gives us so much information about where it goes.
Yes. And then it's also, who else is going to show up? Because, you know, they have a lot of names and they're Dora Milaje. Mm-hmm. So it's like, are we going to get some Nakia? Are we going to get some Ayo?
Yeah, I could go for some Angela Bassett in the Infinity War, too. So if you could just keep her going on, that'd be awesome, too. But yeah, I was like, I saw the Twitter and the release of this, and I was like, could you guys, like, you know this is a spoiler, right? Because now we know he's going to survive Black Panther. But I was like, okay, you know, this is good. This is still good. It's built world building and expanding the universe, and it's assuring that at least Infinity War is going to touch in Wakanda. So I was like, excited about that.
Well, we were talking before the show. I think it could also be a flashback or tangential, like, remember that time? Because they still need the actor. So I will accept that I don't quite know how it ends. And I'm going to have that, like, fabric in my mind's eye, like, maybe he doesn't. I want to not know everything. I want to go in as blind as possible. So, yeah, it's exciting. I mean, Black Panther is the one that we know a lot about the tone, but a little about the story, and that's always exciting for me.
Yes.
That's how I like to go into movies.
Yes, and let's be honest. This is February of next year. By that point, when we're sitting there in the movie theater, do you think we're going to remember any of this? I'm going to be like a little kid, and I was just given a candy store. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm just going to be there like, ha, ha, ha.
That's how I think this is going to go. I think as soon as the opening credits end, I'm going to be like,
speaking of these...
These were a glorious gift from Aaron, who came in today.
Yes.
I'm so excited to have this costume.
I got Black Panther as a Funko Pop.
Yeah, a little thank you for, you know, inviting me on the show and letting me be here. So I was really surprised that you didn't have one yourself. So I was like, very thankful that this worked out.
Yeah,
perfect. I know. What I was telling everybody earlier is that my Funko Pop collection does not reflect my fandom. I've got like maybe three or four, and one of them is Doc from Back to the Future. And I think I have an Indiana Jones one. So just saying, it's just random impulse buys whenever it's come to Funko Pop. And the one thing thing that we'll say about Doctor Strange, because, you know, Matt's not here. So.
He's here.
Yeah, so. He's here. He's here right here.
As a placeholder for Matt. We have a manifestation of Matt Key.
There we go.
And this costume, briefly, to talk Spider-Man, is, to me, a lovely nod to the Scarlet Spider's costume. And as you guys know, I am the one Scarlet Spider fan that defends his honor. So that's rather not only doing that in the movie, but now I have a Funko. So we're going to move on, staying in the MCU, and we're going to discuss, very quickly, Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
Now, Thor Ragnarok is coming out this year. We are probably going to get a second trailer soon, but an interesting thing happened on the Infinity War set regarding Thor Ragnarok, in that there is an image of Mjolnir.
Yes, now, who's supposed to be destroyed.
We've seen in the trailer many times, that's a very important moment that is gone, so, I mean, it's not a surprise. Yeah. Once again, it's one of those, like, kind of spoilers where it's like,
I know, yeah.
It's going to be back.
A little bit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But, like, is it going to be Forge? What was it?
Is it new? Yeah.
Is it
new?
Ultimate Universe? Like, are they going to do Yornbjorn? Or I was like, because that whole axe looks so cool.
Yeah.
And then, like, the teaser in the little artwork that they released, sort of short of sword, mm-hmm. or maybe Yornbjorn was there. So right. I know they're kind of...
There's some flavor.
There's flavor. Yeah. So they got a lot of maneuverability in what they're going to do.
And I love that, like, we gets a priest holding Mjolnir.
Yeah.
Like, the image of it is just like...
And the caption. The caption's great.
Yeah. Just worthy.
Worthy.
Like, I love the way the Russos handle their social media. I love that whenever they post something, it just adds more questions than answers.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We know less about what's going on here than we did before the image.
Yeah, but we don't know time frame too, so this is it's kind of interesting. It might be old.
Could be flashback.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're touching on the flashback concepts. Yeah. Playing with time, so.
I mean, we had an Age of Ultron. That was the whole Asgard sequence, dream sequence. This could be from that, because it's the same church, theoretically.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's a lot more questions than answers, and let's hope we get Priest Thor.
Yeah.
moving on to Guardians of the Galaxy. James Gunn tweeted, or Instagram, this very cool picture of him basically doing his homework for Guardians 3. Yeah. It is the man himself doing a little light night reading.
Yes, and you can see he's reading Warlock.
And Adam Warlock has been so close to the first two movies. Like, movie one, we had Adam Warlock in, a gestating state.
Yes.
Movie two, post-credits, we have Adam Warlock. Movie three, or movie two and a half, which is what I consider this moment, just James Gunn. I mean, Adam Warlock is coming, and we've had three movies of hype. This is like practically Thanos sitting on a friggin' space chair this point. Like, the Guardians version of Thanos space chair is Warlock just building up and up and up.
There you go.
And those of you that don't know Warlock, he's... almost deity. Like, he's an all-powerful character.
Yes. In fact, he's known as him. If that tells you anything, mm-hmm. he's known as him.
It's a perfect race that made a perfect guy, so he's pretty perfect.
Yes.
So I'm excited. I can't wait to see the cast. I can't wait to see what Guardians, like, I loved Guardians 2 so much. I can't wait to see what 3 is.
Yeah. So that just don't get it confused. He's not in Infinity War, though. It's been confirmed multiple times that he's not, which is very interesting because,
news.
Like, how are they going to overcome Thanos without Adam Warlock? I don't even know.
And I like that. I don't want an all-powerful, like, I don't need a Dragon Ball Z fight. I want a Dragon Ball Z movie. I don't want a Dragon Ball Z fight.
You don't want, like, Dragon Ball Z GT.
Yeah, I don't need
that one.
Like, I want the movie to have stakes.
I'm going to destroy this planet just from me charging up.
Yeah, I'll get to it.
This is just an epic number of Kamehamehas just somehow not, coming at it.
So. I want that movie so bad. I want Dragon Ball so bad. But, so I'm excited for Adam Warlock. I'm excited that James Gunn. The man does not stop. He spent 3 years on one. He spent 3 years on two. The second one's still in theaters, and the guy is prepping for three. He is a beast, and thank you, James Gunn, just for being you.
Yeah, that article saying they're going back to the old Adam Warlock.
Yeah.
Really getting into the rich material, and that's James Gunn.
The dude loves his fans, and he loves the fandom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he loves his research. So I'm looking to see the old classic style. So
he's just so great. So we're gonna move on to this. So that was our MCU news for the most part. We're gonna move on to the Netflix universe, where there's been a series of basically TV announcements. And when TV announcements happen for the seasons and for the upcoming year, we get little tokens of wisdom. We're gonna start with Punisher. Now,
yes,
Derbla Walsh is a very tricky name that may have been spelled wrong, but it's a very cool name. Spoke about a recent TV projects, including the Punisher, saying, "Quote: I've directed one other time that hasn't been aired yet, but has an episode for the new Marvel series The Punisher, which I did just before Christmas, and it's not airing until November."
Ooh,
that means
November
2017, this year, November. That means we have August Defenders, we have November Punisher. Goodness gracious.
It's contagious. No, it's like, I love this. No, because we've seen all these pictures with I'm gonna butcher his name, John Blumenthal. Did I say
Berthel.
It Bernthal.
Yeah.
Who am I thinking of? I don't know. Continuing on.
It's okay.
And I love all these pictures where he's like, he's so rugged. He's he's got his manscaping going on with
his very coiffed Punisher beard.
Yes, but then He's got all the bruises and all the punches. I'm like, I want to see what this dichotomy is.
Explain this beard to me, Netflix.
Let me know.
I want to have the answers to that beard question.
It's like, was it Suburban Dad and now Punisher?
Yeah. Like, was he undercover? What's happening? Why is it so coiffed?
Yes.
Was he doing hair on Rodeo Drive? Because that's what that beard looks like. I'm excited that that is this year all but confirmed. I mean, we theorized we'd have three shows this year that would be Iron Fist, Defenders. We hoped Punisher. And they also have kind of alluded to the fact that we'd have multiple seasons of multiple shows in 2018. So the escalation of Netflix is very much like the escalation of the MCU. Speaking of which, Jessica Jones season 2. I love this quote so much because it means so much to the shape of the show. Christian Ritter said to Rotten Tomatoes, quote, "I feel like it's a binge show big time. The season maybe even more so than the last. Even as I'm getting the episodes and reading them on the page, they ramp up so much at the end that it's kind of hard to not want to just drive in the next one."
Ooh, and that's just reading the script.
Just reading.
Wow.
That's what I love about Netflix is the way, like House of Cards season 1 and 2, where they'd crescendo in the last 5 minutes, where you're like, I could sleep, or like, and Breaking Bad did that really well. Once Breaking Bad hit its stride, it didn't stop.
Yeah.
So if season 2 of Jessica Jones is that kind of like they're writing it to be no sleep, that's exciting.
Then okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what does that quote mean to you?
For me, it's like, I like that it, well, the actress is totally stoked for this.
Yeah.
And I absolutely adore that. I want actors to be impassioned with their product, with their projects, because yes, Marvel, you know, universe, that's great to be a part of. I mean, and ka-ching much, and then also some job security going along, but then to actually be, you know, just, she's, look at this quote. It's
she's hype, man.
Yeah, she's like, I feel like it's been show big time.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it is. And you know what? You're the star of this, and you're feeling this way about it. That gets me pumped, and I'm happy about it.
I couldn't, like, there was a picture, we didn't have it in the running because it just happened, but her and Carrie Ann Moss watching Wonder Woman together. So that means they're like bros outside, like off camera. To me, that's like the coolest thing. They both like called each other their Wonder Woman, and there was just like this really cool bond. And I love that the Netflix universe is so rich with characters that when she showed up in Iron Fist, we were invested.
Yes.
When she shows up, we have this attachment to character because they're not only doing these 13-hour binges, they're doing 13-hour binges times 4 shows. So you've got like hours of media attached. So season 2 being that kind of pace, that's only good news.
Yeah. I love this picture. Yeah.
There it is. It's so cute. Look at the cuteness.
It's Jer and Jessica.
I just like, we live in a magical nerd time, guys. There are two Marvel heroines watching DC's heroine. Like, that's amazing.
Love that.
We're going to talk about Wonder Woman later, I promise.
Yeah, we are. Amalgam Universe.
Yeah, but today's the day. See, comics, you guys can cheat. We can cheat, too.
Yeah, and Matt can't stop us.
Before the show, like Tuesday Wednesday, I was texting Matt. I was like, can't wait to talk Wonder Woman. He's like, it's Marvel movie news. I'm like, but. And I had this, like, back pocket idea that I saved till today. Speaking of Jessica Jones season 2, Patsy Walker was seen on set. Now, that's exciting because that character was such a surprise, season 1 for me at least.
Oh, okay.
I expected to like her. I didn't expect to, like, have seen Steel, you know? Like, I enjoyed her more than I expected because I'm not that giant of a fan of that character in the comics.
Yeah, I enjoyed her in Jessica Jones, but that was because I was coming off of Daredevil and I didn't have a lot of enjoyment for some of the female characters that were in that for season 1. So for this, I was like, oh, okay, look at her with some steel in her spine. Mm-hmm. I enjoy this.
Yeah, she was a formed character.
Mm-hmm.
She had an arc, and that was fun to see a character that doesn't have as much of an arc in the comics sometimes get her due on TV.
Yeah, and they kind of threw me off a little bit because she wasn't named Patsy. Oh, no, not Patsy. What was her name?
Blanking. Yeah. I'm blanking too because it was a year ago.
Yeah. Right, the other first name. So that threw me off a little bit in the beginning, and then as I saw her arc, I'm like, oh, this is
that character.
Obviously.
Yeah. No, I actually enjoyed her arc was one of the best I enjoyed of the entire show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was just enough mystery writing to keep, but also just those little touches in the room when she's training.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is someone's mystery, and I was like, can we push this character along but more? But I'm hoping to see more of her in season 2.
I think Jessica Jones had an incredible supporting cast.
Yeah.
When I look back at Jessica Jones, I think of how strong everything carried the whole team. The whole unit felt strong.
Yeah.
And her and Duke, I really enjoyed the Nuke stuff.
Yeah, the Nuke stuff was great.
Because I know Nuke from Wolverine. I didn't expect, like, Nuke and Jessica Jones.
Okay, great. No, I like Mike Coulter big time in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping that would have been the thing that would have, you know, snagged my mom onto it. Nope, didn't work out that
way. Wasn't
her
show. I mean, episode 1 starts pretty strong for moms.
I've got into August to, like...
Yeah, you can plant that seed again and be like, Mom, come on, we'll try. We'll start episode 3. We'll get past this stuff. speaking of the Netflix world, Iron Fist. I don't know if this is news that you enjoy or not, but I personally will be excited about it because it means there's time for training. Iron Fist Season 2 is all but confirmed. Finn Jones was talking at Puerto Rico Comic Con and had a short Q&A and basically all but confirmed that Season 2 of his show is happening. It's not a surprise. It's not really news. Everyone's getting a Season 2. Netflix and a lot of the new media stuff kind of builds in Seasons 1 and 2 as a unit, like they exist. Mm-hmm. So he's had a year to train.
I hope that he spent that time well.
He is a very handsome man, and he should fight good.
I enjoyed him in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
I feel like after spending all that time, you know, with the other cast at Defenders, it's going to help acclimate to what the world is. Mm-hmm. And then also, I'm very certain Marvel's pretty good at learning its lessons.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? So, yeah.
I think
with Season 2, they're going to give us some more of that mystical kung fu. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no need for so much grounding. We can take it. We like it.
And after Defenders, I don't think it's going to be as grounded. I don't think it can be.
Yeah. I mean, it'll still be like street level, but comic book street level.
Right.
It is kind
right.
of different.
Yeah, so. I think it has to escalate because I think Season 2 and 3 of these shows has to go higher than 1. And mm-hmm. I think after Defenders is going to be like the Avengers, where Phase 2 in the movies had to keep being like the incident. And they kept having to be like, remember that time? I can't call him because of blah, blah, blah. They had to write in the reasons.
Yeah.
I think Season 2 of Iron Fist is going to have to acknowledge Defenders, have to acknowledge the buildup. And I think Season 2 of Iron Fist could be the Season 1 the fans that weren't as in love with Season 1 might get.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I optimistically.
Yeah, let's move away from Scott Buck a little bit.
I think the
showrunners for Defenders, obviously you're going to push a little bit more. Right. That's what I want to see. I want to give it the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the showrunners for the second season should hopefully grab onto that and keep that going. Keep some motivation going.
Him running across the wall and flying Superman punching is my Season 2, so I'm going to give it full excitement points.
Yes. And let RZA direct another episode, if not a couple of them,
because
episode 6 was very...
That was a training one, right?
Episode 6 was the contest.
The contest where he starts moving faster, actually embodying the Iron Fist.
Yes.
That was the best part of the entire season.
Yeah, it's where we had the Bride of Nine Spiders and
such a good episode.
Yeah,
the Immortal Iron Fist, which I'm reading now, so it's a little bit of that.
Yes, I enjoy Immortal more than I do Living Weapon. Living Weapon seems a bit doom and gloom for me, personally, my taste, while Immortal Weapon is just this fantastic world, and he's so Iron Fist.
Yeah.
You know, he's that naive innocence, but he's also, you know, he's a man of the world.
Yeah.
Now, Marvel, idea. Yeah. What if every member of the Wu-Tang directs an episode? Can we have 13 episodes as directed by the Wu?
Well, I mean, you're good.
Nice. And Ronnie gets a good one.
That's so great. But you had Method Man.
That's what I'm saying, man.
You had RZA directing. I mean, come on, man.
Let's just go full Wu.
This is the whole Wu.
That'd be a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And they can release that album they only had one copy of. I want this show. And then wrapping up Netflix, we have the Defenders showrunner discussing Sigourney Weaver's fighting style. This is freaking exciting because it's Sigourney Weaver and anything involving her is freaking great.
So this is Sigourney Weaver outside of like a giant machine.
Yes,
what she can do when the giant machine isn't holding her
back.
When
the power went off and she's out of it.
Yeah.
Weaver said, quote, "I've never been a martial arts kind of gal. I'm more of a hold the flamethrower kind of gal." And then the showrunner said, quote, "I'd love to tattoo that interaction onto my forehead forever. She was really willing to do things to really get dirty. It was wonderful." I just, anytime Sigourney Weaver comes up, like whenever she comes up, I'm just like, more.
Yeah.
Like, please, everything is
Sigourney Weaver.
She's so awesome.
Yes, and tall.
Epic.
I love how tall she is.
She's epic.
She's a tall woman.
She is a flamethrower kind of gal. Yes, please. So we don't know who she is yet. We don't know what the show presents her as.
Yes.
But the fact that she has a discussion about her fighting style, pretty great.
So there you go.
So I just had to include some Sigourney Weaver because respect to Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, if we're not getting Alien 5 with her, then I will have this.
We will have Marvel's Alien 5. And then while
By that I mean a Neil Blomkamp's one.
Oh,
that
man.
Was going.
Yeah.
That
one
got
should
scrapped.
Come back on the table.
It died this morning. Neil Blomkamp came out with a statement today being
all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So we're not going to get Newt and Hicks back 27 years later. And so that's just not going to happen.
That's all right.
But hey, we have Marvel's Sigourney Weaver.
There we go.
And staying with Marvel TV, we're going to talk about the Inhumans real quick. They cast a Lost star, Henry Ian Cusick. Based on the IMDb page, which, as we know, sometimes isn't exactly the best source of news. People can add things to IMDb, but if IMDb or someone in his camp added it, he's apparently on the show officially cast. He was in Lost for over 70 episodes. He was on the show The 100, CW show. Basically, his role is going to be interesting on Inhumans. He's playing Dr. Evan Declan. Now, he's in 6 of the 8 episodes, so it's clearly a big part, and he's a doctor. So it's going to be interesting to see how his handling of human physiology interacts with inhuman's physiology. Like, I assume that's going to be the kind of the conflict is, like, right. He's a guy, a regular guy, and he's dealing with this crazy world. So I'm hoping with this casting, and this is me just extrapolating, hoping for the best, mm-hmm. with this casting, we get to see some of the Kirby madness. I hope this means, like, we get to see how weird the 70s Kirby stuff is, how crazy it can go. Once again, it's just a casting, and it's just IMDb, but that's what I hope.
Yeah. One can always have hope.
That's all I
hope. Is,
I
read an article on this. Hope is still in Pandora's box.
Yes. It is for now.
Yeah.
I was thinking that he's a non-canon character.
Yes.
Mm. So at least
makes sense.
But at least a bridge. Hopefully, help bridge some things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Inhumans can, I think, more reasonably have non-canon characters be large parts because of how long Inhumans has been running and how much they have to shape it for the show. Right. And it's gotten a lot of guff because of the imagery released, like Entertainment Weekly and stuff. But the shape of Inhumans can still present a great TV show. So let's. We're here.
So, yeah, and we've never had a problem with the casting for
anything.
Yeah, they've got a strong bunch. So.
Yeah, the casting director should be noticed. Gabriel Luna talked Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and S.W.O.R.D. recently at Phoenix Comic Con, and he played Ghost Rider, basically said that a storyline that happens in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ties beautifully into Infinity War. This can mean two things. One, the writing, much like the helicarrier moment, or like these clever little tie-ins where it ties in but not ties in,
right? Or
we maybe have a bit more of a stronger connection between the two things, which is what fans have been wanting since day one.
Yes.
The quote has been tossed all around the internet because everyone wants it. I get it. Yeah. We all want it. We want to see the TV and movie merge. The quote could be either way. So, I mean, what do you think? Do you think we're going to finally...
I'm okay with them not merging. I'm one of those fans that I'm okay with it being separate worlds, but also hinting at each other. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that because for me, television just feels so it's different. It's accessible. It's like right here in front of me, while movies are... That's an experience for me. I go out to the movies and, you know, there it is. So I don't need for them to be that closely connected. That is me personally. With that, but I do like, because you know, in Infinity War we will have Guardians and we have
Sword of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So I know, it's like 100, we could add a couple of more, you know, we'll get them wholesale. actors.
What'd be really cool is if scheduling's the issue, right? Like, how cool would it be if we had like a day player, like just a one line, or like tiny, like the guy playing Galaga in Avengers, if that was an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, if that was a guy that's canon in the show, I'd if that was like just a seed,
just gets caught playing different video games.
Yeah,
there you go.
I don't know how I'm not fired.
I'm addicted,
by now, you know, that type of thing.
They haven't caught on yet.
Yeah, they haven't caught on yet.
Yes. The same
whenever there's a finale for a S.H.I.E.L.D., then Howard the Duck just walks by.
Oh, man. Seth Green just has a line. Tosses it out. Yes. And wrapping up our TV news, Hayley Atwell said that technically season 3 could still happen. Now, she did admit there is not a plan for that, but she said that there are head honchos at Marvel TV that would like to give it a shot, and she said she'd love to give it a shot. So it's all very unofficial, but according to Movie Pilot, Hayley Atwell is running around being like, please, 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 and maybe, maybe, maybe. So all you Agent Carter fans, I mean, it's a beautiful show. It was fantastic. It's not dead in the water. It's not Alien 5.
Yes, there's always hope.
I would love to see, like, maybe BBC, if something were to take on
Hayley Atwell. Can you imagine, man?
The BBC could take over. I know it wouldn't happen, but just
that flavor.
That flavor. The intense of 4 to 6 episodes.
Oh, you know, now you've said BBC, can you imagine a BBC Hellfire Club show?
Oh, ooh. My gosh.
That's what I just... Mind blown. My mind just fan wrote. Can you imagine, like, a full period piece, like, sex drama club?
Kevin Feige, who you want to bring all the characters? I'm just saying, spend some money.
Dude, BBC Hellfire Club. Sign me up.
So great. I mean, you have Benedict Cumberbatch.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can make that flavor work really well.
I know that people can talk.
Sebastian Stan, like that.
Yeah, and everybody wants Scrumple Snatch and everything, so we should just have
that'd
it.
That'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
They could release that after New Mutants.
Yeah, yes. And like, X-Men has 100 TV shows coming out. Make one of them BBC and Hellfire Club.
Because and then Doctor Who shows up, and then there's... Idris Elba and just the whole world.
Hot Topic's just printing money.
All of this, yes. All of this,
just
yes.
Like, fandom.
You just want my money now, Aaron. I know, you just want my money now.
I know.
It's
come
the Amalgam University.
Yes, I know. Exactly.
We can do everything.
Crossing over everything.
We have the power here.
It's the Rainbow Bridge. We're getting from all universes.
Yes. Enjoy, Matt. We know you're watching.
Yes.
This is what happens when you're not here, Matt. We make every universe one universe. That's why we're going to talk Wonder Woman soon. So, in speaking of Infinity War, tangenting over from the potential crossover with S.H.I.E.L.D., Infinity War... Now, if you guys are like me, Sean Gunn stole Guardians Galaxy 2 for you. Sean Gunn was Kraglin, and he's the body of Rocket. He's the guy that does mocap for Rocket. Now, Kraglin may himself appear in Infinity War, but for sure, Rocket appears. And Sean Gunn had an interesting quote. He said, quote, "I can tell you the process for Rocket has been very similar to the Guardians movies. If anything, it's even more painstaking because there are even more CGI characters around. In Guardians 2, Baby Groot was there the whole time, but the rest of the time, it was mostly other live actors. In Avengers, there are several other characters who are CGI enhanced that I've interacted with, makes the process a little more deliberate. I can't imagine what that set looks like. That must be like a Hunter S. Thompson acid dream. Just like a bunch of green people running around and like green stuff. Like, it must be so much.
Yeah.
And you've got to pace like the timing with the marks. And like, if you've ever been on a set, like hitting a mark is everything.
Yeah. And then just where their eyes are.
That's what I mean. Like, every mark is a variable.
Yeah.
And it's shot on IMAX, so like you've got the scope of the cameras that are super loud, only have so much film in them. You've got hitting your mark that's imaginary. You've got eye lines that are imaginary. You've got people that aren't even around you. Like, that is top notch.
Yes, it's like he's not real. He doesn't matter.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
It's playing with action figures, but $300 million in action figures.
Yes.
And speaking of playing with action figures, we're gonna get to that in a minute. That's
because you know
on,
what we're talking about.
I'm very excited about with action figures.
Yes.
Karen Gillan also, in speaking of Infinity War, hasn't seen her script yet. That's how secretive they are with these movies. She is in Infinity War. She's working in Infinity War. Mm-hmm. Has not seen her script. And, you know, it makes sense. She might only see the 5 pages she gets because this movie is ginormous.
It's gigantic. This is a huge movie with so many moving parts, Wakanda. So it's
as we know now.
So we absolutely don't know how much time we're going to spend in each of these worlds.
Yeah.
So, but then also, it's Thanos, and this is Nebula, and then there's that whole plot and storyline where she gets the glove. This is the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And it's like, she hasn't seen her script yet. What is going
so
to
we
happen
don't know,
here?
Because she doesn't know.
Yeah.
The whole spin in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 with her whole speech about why she was tortured and having to compete. Just imagine if she got the gauntlet. Right now, she has the biggest motivation to want to take down Thanos, and if she did it. Man, what would that that look like? It'd be so epic. But right now, we don't know. Again, Black Panther's still coming, so we can still get some little nuggets. But that would just be awesome.
Basically, every 2 months, we get a new nugget. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, for the rest of our lives. Yeah. No, but like, as it stands now, the next like 3 years, every 2 months, there's like sprinkle. Yeah. Like, the fact that Punisher now November, like, there's not a gap of more than 8 weeks where we don't have some crazy, never thought I'd see it in my lifetime comic book.
Cloak and Dagger coming.
That's right.
I'm just saying, like, touching little networks. BBC, man. Little networks.
I never have time to, like, even read. Like, I'm trying to read every Marvel comic whilst watching every Marvel property.
You told me how many you keep up with. And
60 a month,
man.
And I'm rereading Deadpool from the one. I'm on issue 30. I'm rereading all of Deadpool from issue 1.
Yeah. Wow. I'm going back over my classics with everything. No. Because it's like I retain a lot, but a lot of it I'm like, oh, wait, I forgot all about this storyline.
Yeah.
So, and then Idris Elba is coming out in a movie.
No, Dark Tower.
In Dark Tower. So I am rereading everything. I reread the graphic novels.
Are you going to reread all of them again?
Yes. Yes. So,
man,
like, right now, I'm on Wastelands. Right now. So, because
she
I own them all.
Every time
serious.
It cuts to me, she's
that's
reading,
awesome.
By the way.
Yeah,
anytime the camera's on me, she just opens that book.
I have so much to read, especially from all your recommendations. And the Priest's Run is still on my list because you recommend it. So
yes, I'm going to reread that, too.
Because
if only for the Nakia part of it, because especially because Lupita is doing that. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how they're going to go about with this. Mm-hmm. They have some very interesting choices that they could make.
Tweet us, you guys, if you want book recommendations, because we could literally do this for the next 3 hours and read.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Read. Get your kids to read. Get your parents to read.
Oh.
Read.
Yeah, and Amazon just had they have this huge sale where you can do like $1, $2 for
90% off graphic novels. 90%. I literally bought everything.
Because that Alpha Flight one because I want to read the whole Alpha Flight run. Forget who was the early issues, but I want to get that, and that was like $90. So
it is now like $10.
I gotta go get that.
Dude, yeah. I was a problem. I also have that one click setup, so credit card. in the keeping with Infinity War, Josh Brolin. once again, we're talking about Josh Brolin. That's right, Cable and Thanos is prepping, and he tagged himself on an Instagram post, basically the caption, dot day, because the man looks like this on set, and that's fantastic.
For our iTunes listeners, it is Josh Brolin, and you know it's him because he's wearing a hat that says Brolin. And he has a number of motion capture dots on his face.
I love that he's on every corner of Marvel. Right? Like, he's in the biggest MCU movie while doing the biggest Fox movie, and Josh Brolin running the game.
There you go.
Goonies never say die. They don't. Infinity War, to close out, when I was talking about toys earlier and talking about the magic of what Infinity War might be, I want to show you this Chris Hemsworth clip that he posted on Instagram, and if Thor Ragnarok's anything like this, we're in for a treat. So yes. Please enjoy this madness with us. It's Chris Hemsworth being a god.
It's a minute long. Enjoy.
Oh, this is cute. What are you guys just playing with your dolls here? A little fight scene going on, is it? A little choreograph kind of set up. Who's this guy? Berlin techno rave is just rolled in from 3 a.m. Interesting, there's no Thor toy in here. Is that on purpose, or? The Russo, yeah, sure. Heard that before. The Civil War, no Thor. What are they all doing? Standing around, kind of pointing at each other. Look at me, I'm an idiot. Tell you what would really happen if there was a fight between all of us. Basically, go a little bit like this. Oh, look at me, I'm Iron Man, and I'm just got hit over there. And look at me, I'm Captain America, and I got smashed over there like a little fly. He's just a kid. He can fall over. He's not even real. Guns aren't cool, so you can hop off the table. Bunch of losers, these guys. I like those guys. They can stay. And you can come with me because we're now mates. So thanks for nothing, Russo. Oh, this is cute.
I love it so much.
That's great. So good.
Like, yeah. Not only is his reasoning for each choice so fantastic, like, who he picks and, like, why. Like, he's just a boy. He can fall over. Like, yeah. There's just, like, I don't like guns. Guns aren't cool. Like, there's just so much fun there. And, man.
He's not even real.
Yeah. Like, I just, if Thor is anything like that, then we're going to have such a good time at the movies with Thor Ragnarok.
And I love the meta-ness of it all, where you have Thor commentating
and asking about
Russo
Thor.
Brothers. Yes! He's like, where's the Thor doll?
And, like, he is a god who theoretically could play with mortals that way. Like, there's so many, just, it's so funny. Like, I just really, and Chris Hemsworth's comedic timing has been underutilized in the first two Thor films, so that in itself is like every yes.
I want to see him in more comedies. I loved him in Ghostbusters. He was stupid cute.
Great comic timing in Ghostbusters. He was the gem of that movie.
Yeah. I mean, that movie had five movies happening, and his was one of the stronger of the five.
I know. I didn't want to take away from the ladies because the ladies are
no.
Awesome,
oh, yeah. I enjoyed them.
But it just was like such a surprise of how stupid he was.
Yeah, because we'd
so
only
funny.
Seen him so stoic and like, you know,
and
rugged guy. So it was
divergent. Yeah. And just Taika Waititi, man. It's
It'd be like seeing Kristen Wiig in a Meryl Streep part. It's just so different that it stood out, you know? So we're going to move on to Fox talking about New Mutants. Now, there have been three casting basically confirmed. These are all but certain. Until we see them on set, everything's a variable. But all but confirmed, we have Sir Charlie Heaton of Stranger Things as Cannonball. We have Mr. Henry Zaga of 13 Reasons Why and Teen Wolf confirmed as Sunspot. We talked about that briefly last week. And then we have Blue Hunt, which is an amazing name, as Moonstar. I want to break these down, but first I would like Markia to talk about everything, including how great Blue Hunt's name is.
Oh, yeah. Well, Blue Hunt, she's from the originals. I have not had the chance to see
content.
The originals. Yes. Oh, there's so much content. And I'm trying to read through the Dark Tower series at the same
every
time.
Take.
Yeah. But I hear it's an extremely strong property, the originals. I have not found a single person that watches it that does not enjoy it.
Same.
So that says a lot, because a lot of people like to ironic watch or hate watch something. No, these are impassioned fans. So apparently this is like one of the greatest castings for it. As far as the Sunspot casting, like I said last week, Henry Zaga is a very strong actor. I enjoyed him in 13 Reasons Why. I prefer the Afro-Latino Sunspot, just because that had so much to do with the, like, that was the original source, and it had so much to do with what New Mutants is, where it's supposed to be the New Mutants, where it's all about diversity. So I do love that they do have a Brazilian actor to go with this, because that's going to carry some flavor. So I do appreciate that. And Blue Hunt is Native American, yes. And then, oh yeah, Stranger Things for Charlie Heaton. Which one was he?
He was
for?
The older brother that had the like the edge to him, the reluctant heartthrob, like not the handsome guy, the less handsome, the less stereotypically handsome, but awesomely handsome, like the guy that was like the Johnny Depp in Nightmare. Dude was awesome. I'm a big Charlie Heaton fan, so I'm like, yeah. I personally like this kid in the show made me question how much I liked the other kid, because the other kid ended up having spoiler alert for Stranger Things. The other kid was such a good actor. He had this crazy redemption moment where he came back to actually help. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but wait, I like them both. Like, it was that great moment in like John Hughes movies where you're like, who gets the girl? because Charlie Heaton was so charming and like mysterious and enigmatic. And your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, another strong casting for it. But since that they kind of race-bended the other way for me for Sunspot, I would have liked a race-bend for Cannonball to kind of even it out. But this is a very strong actor. These are very strong choices. I mean, they're going to embody these roles really well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty excited to know about Blue Hunt. Mm-hmm. Like, because that's a huge role.
Huge.
I mean, that's a huge role to embody. So I might have to fit in the originals to try to see what this actress brings to the table.
And there was actually a commentary on how important that character was, because they're talking about the Demon Bear storyline and how that character ties
into
it. Which
is confirmed.
Demon Bear.
And we brought that up
months ago. A year ago? Like the previs, we've been talking about Demon Bear forever, because I remember saying Demon Bear and being like, hey,
I remember saying Demon Bear.
I'm
sure Matt said it too. Did you say it, Matt?
Yes, I said it.
Demon Bear.
Yeah.
See, there it goes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's exciting that Blue Hunt, that casting is important. And this is an actress I don't know very much about. So that's awesome. I can't wait to discover new people. And I'm a big Charlie Heaton fan. And I don't know Henry Zaga that well, but I am intrigued by all of this and the fact that New Mutants is so important to Fox. Like, they're really investing a lot of time, energy, and the script I've heard is just incredible. So what do you think, man?
Yeah, I was reading up on Moonstar, because the New Mutants is something I'm not familiar with yet, and I want to I've been researching it. So the whole Demon Bear kind of possessing her might be a core part of the whole horror aspect, and really the suspense thriller, the mind-bending components, that the telekinesis or the telepathic powers that she has and makes them horror and have someone. And I think that was last week you guys were talking about exploits their greatest fear. So
yes,
she might have
powers.
That. Her powers do that. Mm-hmm. So she, Demon Bear might be possessing her and might be influencing the entire team to where, you know, people are seeing things or seeing those fears come to life, and that's what might be so fearful.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that seems like a great casting, and she has a specific look for the artists that art that's out there. So, seems like a good fit.
Yeah, and the great thing about this particular storyline that they're choosing, then it completely fits. You don't need a supervillain, because their fears are the villain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need costumes, because
you know what there won't be? A space hole.
Yes, there will not be a swirling trash.
I'm just so done with those. It's all up here. Only mental space holes.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that, like, because I thought there's a little bit of a parallel between Legion and this concept of the Demon Bear.
Ah, yes.
So there's a little bit of a parallel. I was like, I'm hoping that they can keep it unique in its own right. But, you know, Noah Hawley definitely made this wonderful world there. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they can do this as just as creepy and horror flick.
And they're aiming there, so I think they'll hit it.
That's be good.
We're going to keep with Fox. We're going to talk briefly about Wolverine, because I love the character, and he's on the desk. Logan producer talked about the hesitancy to basically reboot Wolverine, which is thank you. Hutch Parker said specifically, quote, I think for the moment our focus really is on other characters. I think there's a part for all of us that feels like Logan, as played by Hugh, is the definitive performance of that character, and I think we're all a little hesitant of the idea of rebooting it in any way. So for the moment, we're going to look at, there's so much to explore in the X-Men universe and to play with. Thank you.
Storm Solo movie.
Please
do that.
Please do that.
Wolverine was handled masterfully in Logan, and Wolverine is the problem with most of the X-Men movies is the fact that they're X-Men, Wolverine, or Wolverine, X-Men movies. Like, they don't like let them be X-Men because of how great Hugh Jackman's Wolverine was.
Yeah.
Give the character some time. In the comics, Wolverine hasn't been alive in like 3 years now, because X-23 is so awesome and that book's incredible. So I think the movie is following suit and giving the X-Men time to shine is the right move, giving New Mutants some space, giving Deadpool some time to play around. I think that Deadpool can be the new Hugh Jackman Wolverine part, in that he can kind of like play around with that, and you can make it meta. You don't have to have him in every movie, but you can have a commentary in every movie. You can keep a shared universe by having a commentary instead of by having Hugh Jackman just be everywhere. It's exhausting.
The heck you say? You want Deadpool to be the sitter now?
I want Deadpool to be in every movie, even not mutant movies.
just because
every movie.
Everything, and then Ryan Reynolds just walks by.
That movie with Samuel Jackson and Ryan Reynolds, I'd like Deadpool to show up and talk to Ryan Reynolds, please. The Hitman's Bodyguard starring Deadpool. Yes.
There we go.
So I think that's a smart move. I think that Logan needs some time. And mm-hmm. Logan, the movie, was so powerful, it'd be kind of like sacrilege to just throw him back in as another person.
Yeah, it's like no need to rush, need to cheapen it. You have a lot of material that you can choose, Storm, that you could choose from. So
I mean, if you're like... inventing characters for the show, you might as well invent some more. Nice. So in talking Fox's X-Men run and which characters should have movies and don't yet, the Gambit's movie's still not dead. I'm the guy that's waiting to buy his Gambit ticket. And the producer, Hutch Parker, yeah. also said to Screen Rant, if it was still in the works, quote, it is. I don't have any news on that, but there's still a desire and a passionate interest to see that movie made. So Gambit, I feel like we'll talk about this for the next 2 years. Yeah.
I mean, what I need for them to do is that I need for them to do with what happened with Wonder Woman, which is they focus on sincerity mm-hmm. and heartfelt heroics. And I think that you could do that very interestingly with Gambit, especially because of his origin story, because, you know, everything that comes with that, I think you could have a lot of fun playing with that. So I would Absolutely. Hope that they would do that. And hey, if they want to do a female director for it, I'm not going to be mm-hmm. angry at it. I'm really not. You know, Marvel doesn't have a really great ratio when it comes to male versus female directors. So out of any
property.
You know what
property, I was so impressed with female, like the Patty Jenkins directing right. Wonder Woman, which we'll talk about. I loved the relationship between Chris Pine and Wonder Woman so much more than I ever thought I would, because the writing was so important to both of them. You know, like, she invested so much time, and that
yes.
is how you make Gambit charming.
That is exactly what you do. When you have your love interest or your secondary character, you have them exist as a separate person, right. which is why when I saw Wonder Woman, it reminded me of flavors of original Captain America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, and then look at that. We got Agent Carter. Oh, what? Because, you know, this person existed outside of the relationship. Right. So it's like, that's what we got with Wonder Woman.
He's an anti-hero. And it's Chris easy Pine. To make him not good, not yes, likable, not important. He's a very scummy
it's
character.
It's very easy to do that, and I want them to not take right. the easy route. Because there's a reason why we love Gambit.
Yeah.
You know, and I like it because of the heartfeltness. Like, he's a thief. He's a rogue. I like thieves and rogues. Like,
heart of gold.
They got a heart of gold.
He's got a glowing heart of gold.
He's the yeah. chaotic good.
Yes, exactly.
There we go.
I mean, to go super nerdum right there. But
love alignments.
I know.
Amalgam Universe.
But yeah, I mean, the thing about it with balancing off rogue and the comics is like she always checks him because he's always trying to do bad, but then he's like, all right, you know, it's nice dichotomy, and you to have the balance of the contrast mm-hmm. in an actual movie might be great.
You know, yeah. what's funny, when I was watching Stranger Things, I thought Charlie Heaton would be a really good Gambit.
Yeah,
he's got like that flavor of like mischievous but like charming, and like yeah. the hair. He's got like mm-hmm. a Gambitness, so it's funny that
yeah,
like
you gotta have mm-hmm. the hair.
You gotta have the hair. Yeah. Very important. Very important.
You can't have a bald Gambit. No. I'm sorry.
Doesn't
no.
work.
We just
he's got to look he's through. His hair.
We can do everything else, but he's got to have the hair.
And he's got to look red eyes through the hair. Very important to me. We're gonna close out with a world of Sony news. Now these are all little quick bits, but there's a lot going on with Sony because they are trying to make a shared universe of everything. Yes. Tom Holland spoke with Yahoo Movies about his role in Infinity War, saying, quote, it's been crazy, man. It's been really, really surreal experience about working with the Avengers. When I did Civil War, I only worked with Chris and Robert very briefly. Everyone else was sort of like, I was acting with a tennis ball or all this sort of stuff. I saw everyone, but never got to work with them. For this now, I'm in a situation where I'm on set with all these guys doing scenes, fighting bad guys. It's been a real whirlwind. It's been a lot of fun. I can't wait for this movie. This guy is just hanging out with Avengers.
Yeah, I can't tell if you're excited or not, Corey.
I'm excited. Spider-Man and the Avengers. And Tom Holland is Spider-Man.
Yeah. I love that they finally got this. Like, it's just all the perfectness for Spider-Man. Because it feels like in the past, we had like, oh, this actor is really great Peter Parker.
Or
but
the other way. Yeah.
Or the other way, or vice versa. And like, here, we have both. And I know we keep on saying the lip sync battle. But
the
it's
lip sync
like,
battle.
It was fun.
That was so awesome.
Right? It's
oh,
great.
Man. And Zendaya's performance also
yes.
epic.
Yes.
But
it
Tom
hits
Holland
just the right
blew
now.
Away. Yeah.
And every time he does an interview.
Erykah Badu. Oh.
Like, anytime Tom Holland does an interview, I'm like, oh, Spider-Man. Like, I don't need, I like, I Tom Holland's an incredible actor, but I still go, oh, Spider-Man. And that's saying a lot, because I've been like, oh, Andrew Garfield, he was great in Boy A and Social Network. Like, I saw his whole, and then with Tobey Maguire, to me, it's Tobey Maguire. Tom Holland, he's just, he embodies everything good about Spider-Man. So I those quotes
his
even.
His energy is epic. I mean, yeah, with him man. On Jimmy Kimmel the other night was just, like, man, he just so loves everything that he's doing.
Yeah, and he's a fan bad. Since birth,
he's
and you can
fan.
Feel it. Then we also have the runtime. Spider-Man Homecoming is going to be 2 hours and 10 minutes, or 130 minutes, which is Not nearly long enough for me. And then we have a major change to Flash Thompson. Now, this is kind of a spoiler. It felt kind of spoiler light to me, so I remember being like, man, I kind of wish I didn't know that. So avert your ears. Quote, one of the main differences from the previous movies is that we don't really have a bully. His main rival is Flash. They have a really fun back and forth. So he's less of a bully in this movie. And we've kind of talked about how the actor doesn't have the physicality that we think of with Flash. He doesn't have, like, the... From his prior roles, we don't see that type of personality type.
Well, as in the jock kind the jock of. Bully. But there they've are said, many different kinds of bullies.
Yeah, they've talked about the rich bully, the popped collar bully.
Yeah, this is like a magnet school type of thing, right? So, yeah, I think you'd have more of a, maybe a smart aleck bully, just that person that you just did not just want to run into again today. So, just seems like they're probably going that route with
it. Yeah, it seems like he's still going to be like a negative, but it's not going to be like, locker slam. Which makes sense for the casting.
Yeah, and then keep in mind, you don't have to worry about him, you know, bonding with the symbiote or anything like that. So just keep it into the world that actually, this John Hughes-esque world.
The Ditko Spider-Man Flash Thompson. Like, it's going to be that back in the day. Mm-hmm. And they also talked about the Vulture. They said, quote, the Vulture is realizing there's a black market in trading MCU relics that he can sell his stuff off. Said executive producer Jeremy Latcham, we're going to see that guy's rise in the criminal underworld. The idea that there's a detritus from the other movies that has been settled and that's hidden and out there, director John Watts added, the Vulture, he was just sort of an engineer who built the wingsuit by trying to collect that stuff and do something with it. I found a really interesting approach to what we all want to call a villain, Keaton began. He does corrupt things in order to fight, and what he sees as corruption, I think, is a pretty strong argument. Those three quotes is such a cool villain. Like, MCU, we talked about damage control. That almost happened. This is a very similar approach to that.
There we go.
And it's not as tied into Iron Man as we all feared. This is more about him finding scraps and being his own man and being an engineer. And it looks like
they're going entrepreneur.
Yeah, he's just a guy trying to make it right.
Just trying to make a buck. He's trying to make a buck in this world.
He found it. He didn't even steal it.
It's like he's getting it out of other people's way.
Like, it's an aluminum can.
It's like a public service.
That's 5 cents.
Yeah,
he needed it. I get it.
Yeah. So it's like, what is this Chitara technology? I'm getting it out of the way.
I can fly now, guys.
At least I like that moral grayness. It allows it to where it's like, yeah, it's right because he's trying to make for his kids or whatever. It's awesome.
And I think that it really allows for a universe that's founded on tech. Yes. Spider-Man is a very, very smart character. We have the Tinkerer. We have Shocker. We now have, like, the Vulture as the main villain. All of these things are based on people building and creating. Yes. And if there's anything we need right now, it's kids to know that being smart is good and important and will get you the right places. So if kids are seeing these people invent things and create lives better for themselves, then that's what a hero movie needs to do. It needs to help kids find out that it's not good to be ignorant on purpose. Political climate. It's good to learn and achieve. So it's, if Spider-Man
easy
can do that,
it's easy to choose ignorance. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Ignorance at this point is a choice.
Have a book under your butt when you're doing a talk show. That's how much you should be reading, guys. Be reading all the time. And Spider-Man represents that. Spider-Man's a scientist first, and that is what they're shaping this movie to be. So I'm excited about that aspect. And then Venom is
Because of course, Venom.
I'm so excited. Venom is basically in the comics having a Venomverse. A few years ago, we had the Spider-Verse. Now they're actually taking over all different titles with Venom. So to me, they always do that when they're ramping up a franchise. Like whenever they have a character get important. So with Venom coming out next year, it's very like, oh, by the way, Venomverse. Like clearly they've been like prepping and setting and laying the groundwork. So that to me is showing how much faith Marvel Comics have in this Venom movie, which to me is exciting because Tom Hardy is going to be the best thing ever. And they also are talking about basically doing a female-led entire Spider-Verse with, you know, Black Cat.
Are they saying Black Cat?
Yeah, Silver Sable.
Silver Sable.
And I'm really curious. There's so many amazing female characters. There's Stunner, there's Jackpot, there's Dusk. There's a lot of, she was awesome.
Nice.
Because Spider-Man was Dusk and was so, like, uncomfortable and creepy. Remember that when Peter Parker had the Dusk suit and, messed with him?
Yeah, and it's like, I like the thing where it's not just Venom. Like, there's all these other things that can affect everything.
It's like he's had 60 years of comic that you can look at instead of just making stuff up.
Yeah, there is that.
So
he's never gonna let it go.
Never gonna let it go.
Don't even comics try. He won't.
So I think it's exciting. I don't know what to expect. I mean, it's always risky when you take characters that are supporting characters and try to combine them. So I hope they keep everyone the core of them. I hope that Dusk remains that important character. I hope that Black Cat stays as important. Like, I don't want that smashing.
I hope that they learn the lesson that we've been learning with X-Men when you're saying, like, X-Men, Logan, you know, Professor X.
Character.
Yes. character development is what's important. We don't just want a Street Fighter-esque, let's throw everybody and invent Captain Sawada and put him in there too in the Street Fighter movie. It's like, it's not necessary. We don't need this cluster F of everything that's happening. Give us a couple of characters and give us an actual person. Give us an actual person, because then we will want to follow those people. You know, like Guardians of the Galaxy, you gave us actual people.
Yeah. And they were,
you know,
green,
a tree
and, we
and, a,
cared.
And a raccoon is part of it, but you gave us actual people and we wanted to follow their adventures into the next movie and now into the movie after that. And it's like, that is what sells. That is what brings us back.
And these characters have lots of great arcs that can be condensed and not lose the integrity of them because they've been around so long. And I brought it up last week, but the next best shared universe, the Fast and the Furious franchise, has always done an amazing job keeping the characters' arcs consistent while also finding more of them. Like, that movie adds another one or two members of the team every movie, but you never feel like there's like 15 people on screen that don't know who they are. Right. If they can have this many characters but give them the heart of Fast and the Furious, we'll be in a good spot. And that's what I think that they could do. And I think after Logan, like you said, and I think after these movies have done well, hopefully that's what Sony sees as a potential, not as a toy sale.
Yeah.
Because that's the other option.
Merch.
Yeah. And that's what it used to be. I mean, and that was the problem. That's what happened to Batman and Robin. Like, you know, McDonald's said they couldn't do something, and then all of a sudden, bat nipples. Like, you know, we don't need a bat credit card, guys.
Well, I mean, the Toy Stories are letting the Power Rangers keep going, so that's one. I mean, that's one. That's just one thing. But, this whole world about toys and stuff, it's an alternative fund, so I guess we can keep it going. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that's a great analogy for Fast and the Furious. It's going big, but I know the X-Men has gone big team-wise. I'd like to go small stories. It's the character building.
It is.
The Storm is number one on the list. I mean, Wolverine, hello. We have been doing it, and I love it, and Logan was awesome, but Storm is due. And the other characters are due. You know, I know the Gambit's there.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they get it right. I'm okay with it. I liked Scott Summers' story from Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had an arc. I was like, oh, now I'm actually interested in Scott Summers. This is great. You could actually make a story about this. But they just still don't do enough of it. So hopefully Logan will keep him in the right direction.
Yeah.
So we're going to close out the news. We did, I'm going to just say, 32 news stories today in an hour.
We did a coy show.
In an hour. Our last, number 32. Basically, Marvel is bringing a ton of stuff, and I want you to talk about this because your boy's going to D23, and that's July 14th to 16th. If you don't have tickets, I recommend it. If you're a big enough Marvel fan to watch our show, you'll probably be happy there. They're bringing Black Panther. They're bringing Thor. They're bringing probably first looks of both of those things. What do you want to see?
Black Panther.
I mean, what do you want to see of Black Panther?
What
does Chadwick Boseman walking around like, man?
Yeah.
I'm Black Panther.
I'll be like, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Like, let me touch you. I don't want to touch. Right. There we go.
Sneak preview. This is D23. This is Friday.
Yes, that's what I would do. And, oh, God, if Angela Bassett was there, I would just, like, I would melt. I'm not able to talk right now. No, it's
this
like
is
that,
without even Angela Bassett here. It's the idea of Angela Bassett here.
That would happen. Just if she was standing there, and probably the first thing out of my mouth would be like, I loved you in Strange Days. And that's weird. You don't bring up like a movie that they did decades ago. But I did. Yeah. And I think she's amazing. I'm going to be quiet now.
So that'll be D23. It'll be a lot of this. If you see Markia there hyperventilating, know that Angela Bassett might have just walked by. It's very possible. So D23 is going to have all that. Now, we have just covered all of these things, and I'm surprised and proud. We should go to the Merry Marvelites, and I want you to run through the glory that has been. We had a couple questions from last week that we missed. They're on there. Yeah,
they're on there? Oh, great.
So
thank you,
Ollie. Run with it.
Okay, great. So, yes, Merry Marvelites. First up, we have some shout-outs for people. So, Ty Den at Ty Den 19, Hair Silvero at Sexy Hair Bear, Gabby Lopez at Gabby _109, IO9.
IO9,
yeah,
yep.
IO9. Travis McDaniel at Travis _MCD32, New Geek Haven at New Geek Haven, and Richard Russo, nice last name, at Dangerusso 22.
Ah, nice.
And we have Elanji Rosaro at Elanji _R. Hi, my B-Day was on the 30th. Can I get an awesome shout out? She's on, she's in New York City on vacay.
I mean, awesome.
Awesome
Matt does singing,
out.
I do sexy. You handle awesome.
Oh, okay.
Make it awesome.
Elanji, oh my God, girl. Oh my God. This the most awesome day has just happened. On the 30th, you are going to have your birthday. Do you know how awesome you are? Do you have any idea how awesome Elangi Rosaro is? You are awesome. Have an awesome 30th birthday.
If there's one word I'd use to describe that, it was awesome.
It was awesome.
She had an awesome birthday.
So we have James Anderson at JRMAN. 9-1. Hey guys, it's my birthday tomorrow. Can I get a sexy shout out from Kui?
Looks like you were born in 91.
Yeah.
I remember 91.
Oh, that was a good year.
It's a good year.
With
you
a
know,
good day.
The most important part of 91 was, well, it brought James Anderson into my life. So. Happy birthday.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Like, I went to like on safari. I went like there's like a Caribbean happy birthday.
I literally typed in sexy music, and I couldn't preview it, so I was like hoping it
Let's
would work.
See what happens. Yeah, no. And it was like a slow drum rhythm happening into it. Happy birthday, James Anderson.
That's how we say sexy around here.
That is how we do. And shout out to Christina Farrow at Kinetic Fox. Thanks for the glitter and gold Marvel video.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Said that was fun. Thanks. And then Neva R. Williams at Neva R. Williams because he was getting other people to be involved and join us on Marvel Movie News. So thank you.
We appreciate
Please
you.
Have your, all your friends do. So for questions, Paul Jones at Swati. If Marvel were to create a new mutant in the comic books, would the film rights automatically go to Fox? And then .. Great show. Winky face.
I don't think they would do a new mutant because of that.
Yeah, I think it does go over to them, like whenever they create
That's
something.
That's why they couldn't
so,
say mutant, they had to say Miracle Children.
Right.
So I think it would.
Yeah, so...
Until that deal gets made.
We'll see, which is a possibility. It went from an impossibility last November to a possibility.
What's that, Matt? You confirmed that Fox and Marvel have it?
Matt, you can't stop us.
That was totally a Matt question.
Yeah.
That was a Matt question.
Yeah. Nolan Dean at NolanDean27. Spider-Man Homecoming opens next month. What's your favorite moment from any Spider-Man related media?
What up, dude? Let's see. Nolan. We had a talk about this, young man. Mm-hmm. I would say the moment in the animated series. Oh, man, there's so many. Animated series Aunt May stuff felt right. Spider-Man 2 Doc Ock stuff felt really important and like Spider-Man. You know, actually, I'm going to say of any Spider-Man non-comic medium, because that's too much. I can't even begin.
Right.
I would say the moment we meet him in his apartment and he's carrying a DVD player because he can't afford anything else. He's wearing a pizza math joke shirt and he's flabbergasted by Iron Man is the most accurate to the MCU Spider-Man. I think that's the most like honed in version of it's specific. And I think mm-hmm. Spider-Man's specific. So I'm gonna go with like the introduction of him in the MCU is the most accurate for where we're going.
Okay, so for me, and I'm gonna have to pick a tragic moment because it really hit me because I didn't expect for them to go there. It has to be when he was not able to save Gwen Stacy.
Look at you, and like amazing Spider-Man 2 moments.
Amazing Spider-Man 2. So, yeah, that really got me. I mean, my mind movie is like rolling on it right now, and that really affected me.
Mm-hmm.
So, kudos to them for that moment.
The 1:21 on the clock. To me in that moment was the coolest thing.
Oh.
Like the so she died
in 1:21, right?
Yeah, and yeah. The clock but it stops
Does
at
it
1 minute 21 oh, an hour yeah
that
yeah.
Attention to detail is why I love
yeah movies.
Oh.
So yeah, those are probably. Yeah. What do you think? What's your favorite?
Oh, you know that one song and dance in Spider-Man 3. Was oh, I'm sorry. No,
get out.
Oh, get out. I gotta get out. I gotta get out.
Get out.
There it is.
Gotta get out. No, I love the Doctor Octopus whole like arc. Really,
yeah.
it was spectacular.
Yeah, Melina knocked it out of the park.
Melina's acting on that was great. Yeah. So I everything was believable, and I was like, his performance was epic. So that his great. And then the MCU,
yeah.
I guess, mm-hmm. kind of world. Yeah.
Okay, so J-Soap, at J-Soap, S-O-P-P-E, might be Soap. Since Adam Warlock won't be in Infinity War, according to Gunn, which hero will assume his role in leading the troops against Thanos? This is something that we were kind of dabbling about with earlier, because you have to think, they're not going to introduce any more new characters, because they already have
mm-hmm.
the characters, so it's what we have to work with. Right now. So it's like my number one guess was Nebula, because like in the comics she gets a hold of, well, you know, she has that mortal wound, she gets a hold of the gauntlet and she's like, and I'm gonna fix everything, and forgetting that you know, she's going to end up dying because of that. So my thought was Nebula, but if she hasn't even seen her script yet, that might be a real long shot.
I'm going to say Tom Hardy is Venom. Retroactively, no. I think it's going to go Captain America, Iron Man, having put their differences aside. I think that as far as filmmaking storytelling goes, the best way to redeem what happened in Civil War and having them split is them having to get their separate teams together and basically lead the charge against Thanos together. It shows brotherhood. It shows a fixing of the arc. It shows that the fact they've always been brothers. It shows the team is melding together like the Avengers always do. What I would do if I was running this situation is have the moment where neither of them can take them out of their own. They have to unite the teams, and it's going to be both Cap and Iron Man.
So it's going to be like cannon fodder superheroes?
Yes! It's going to be bloody, but it's going to be glorious.
Oh, wow.
It's the only way they can go. It's Thanos.
Yeah, well, Vision's probably not going to be in the picture by that point. So, you know, they can't... No. That's probably going to be the first thing that happens.
Yeah.
Pop that stone out, yeah.
Because we've seen him as a human in behind-the-scenes photos, which means they're like, you have to care about him. What if we make him look as human as possible? Like, maybe a human. Kill him! That's what they do, man. They kill the puppy. It's John Wick.
I wonder how graphic they're going to be when they get that stone out. Oh, all depends.
We'll see.
Maybe a lot of circuitry, maybe.
Yeah.
Bioorganic goop or something.
Oh, goodness.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Intrigue.
Yeah.
Do you have a guess with it, Aaron? Or?
We are Groot. That's about all I have for would leave that. So,
I like that. Groot wins the day.
Groot always. Wins.
The director's cut at _directors_cut. Are Disney and Sony working better together than we might think? Comic Venomverse will do good things for the Venom movie.
Oh, we just talked about that.
Yeah, we just
did. Yeah, I agree, director's cut. I think that's exactly what they're shaping up to. So, same page.
Yeah, because you know what? They like money.
They do.
It's like money's a good thing, and happy fans are even better. And money and happy fans? Because then they spend more money.
That's the dream.
So, yeah. So we have Todd Kaplan. Matt. Oh, this one's for Matt. Your wife, Brittany, is a joy. Congratulations and be great to each other. I've been watching this show since the beginning, and like fine wine, it keeps getting better. Thanks for the hard work, and bring Doom back as much as possible, and Sizzler Kistler too. Both are awesome and so very knowledgeable.
Yeah, yes. Todd, what up, man?
Yeah, we love Zach, and we adore Alan, and we love Brittany. So, Stephen Atkins, I don't know what this really pertains to. No hosts, I'm the idiot. 4 exclamation points. 1993, it was a good year to be a 3-year-old, exclamation point. All this news is awesome. 5 exclamation points. April is really pretty.
Exclamation point.
Yes, she is.
April's great.
Okay, and then from Jessica's Whiskey 50, at @_platesofbacon. I think it's @50_platesofbacon. At 50 plates of bacon.
Either way, there's 50 plates of bacon.
Yeah. This one was to me, please make a reaction video when the Black Panther trailer hits. It would mean everything to me. So I've made a promise to basically ugly cry on social media. There will be snot. There will be tissue.
We saw just the idea. And we're going to
Instantly meme that picture, too.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It's
guaranteed. Yeah. Before you do it, actually.
Yay, I'm going to commit to it, so I already know. I already know with that. For pictures, we have Alanji Rosaro again. Remember the awesomeness?
Yes, the awesome.
Yes, she has a picture. She was at Midtown Comics in New York, and she had a new copy of Doctor Strange, and she has a beautiful big smile, and she's in the hallway, and there's all these Midtown Comics posters behind her, and she's oh so happy with her new Doctor Strange. And I love her hair. She's got this braiding thing going on. So, yes, thank you for that picture, Elanji. And then also from Adriana M. at Chaotic 86, but I believe that O is that's probably an O. just sending y'all some strange love from this past weekend's Niagara Falls Comic Con. And she is there with two other Sorcerer Supremes. And she looks fantastic. And something that I want to note, that in the background, there is Viggo the Carpathian.
Yes, right there. That's
and
beautiful.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, I need this crossover. I want this 16th century medieval tyrant.
Who you
going to
call? Doctor Strange?
You're going to call Doctor Strange? It's like, I just need one issue. 2 issues. Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to be 2 issues.
I get it. Demon Realm, Ghost, it's all plays.
Yes. But yes, thank you for the pictures and thank you for the comics.
So that is a whole show. That is a lot of information. We caught up on Marvelites.
Woo!
Zesty. I think we're gonna wrap it up, but first, anything you want to talk about, good sir?
No.
Oh wait, we should wait.
I mean, it's the amalgam universe.
It's the amalgam.
I mean,
oh, we
have some few a couple you minutes.
You believe
yeah,
me?
We do have a couple of
Bait
minutes.
Bait switch.
Couple.
Yeah, and it's the amalgam universe. If you don't want to see your Marvel movie news people talking about Wonder Woman, then...
I saved it for the end. That way, if you guys aren't now. If you're not the biggest, if you didn't see Wonder Woman yet, so we're gonna talk spoilers. And if you don't,
are we gonna talk spoilers?
I mean, it came out a week ago. Light spoilers. Spoiler light.
Yeah,
we're not going to talk about it again next week.
Emotional reactions.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you don't want to see us talk about DC or you don't want to see us talk about Wonder Woman, now you can head out. I do not want any anti-DC. I do not want any Marvel vs. DC nonsense. This is not Bloods and Crips. They've done nothing to your family. the movie was amazing. We're going to talk about it. And if you don't like that, this is why I saved it for the end. So you can have a good day. Carry on.
Yeah.
So,
just be like a couple minutes of just...
Of just excitement.
Enjoying. Yeah. Enjoying because we're nerds. We're all nerds.
And we got a great victory on this day.
And Patty Jenkins was almost... MCU.
She was.
So she was almost there. So,
It ties in. And it's the amalgam universe. I think that it was very, very important to both DC and Marvel in that it gave us a movie that relied on character, much like Logan did, but also relied on the character's strengths and weaknesses. It did amazingly at showing like this innocent naivete. It did a beautiful job showing fight choreography. It gave us a Wonder Woman that like... We didn't know how that character would go because we've only had the Zack Snyder movies, and it was so innocent and wonderful, and love was the message, and it was so full of heart and compassion, and it made you want to do better and be better, and that's what Wonder Woman is. She makes you want to be better, and it did it.
That's what heroes are supposed to
be. That's what it's supposed to be.
That's what they do.
You don't leave sad.
Yeah, and well, the thing about it, you can leave pretty sad. The thing about this was that the sincerity is, and that's something that that we've been missing with DC, and that we've been missing with Marvel. Let's actually be completely honest here, where it's like this sincerity and this wealth of character development for this particular. It's like, because it almost seems like we've had heroes that were just a little bit too cool for school. You know, it was a little bit more irony, or tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
You know, do the ribs kind of a thing. And with Wonder Woman, what you see is what you get. And what you get is this beautiful, well-rounded person that we don't deserve, but it's not about what we deserve.
And the writing was so good. The scene on the boat with them talking and like the fish out of water meets comedy meets character development. That was such like from a filmmaking standpoint, exposition, character development, character bonding, and love story forming. In one scene, the writing in that was so tight. And then when they went to London, walking through the town and the baby moment, there were so many moments that like evolved while giving exposition. That is so hard to do in a freaking superhero epic.
And it was three acts. Mm-hmm. You had her world, you had our world,
yeah.
And then you had the aftermath with some pretty cool fight scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Some pretty cool fight scenes happened with that. And then like there's that one scene, and I won't say what it is, but it happens, you know, during the third part where there was one scene that was actually going to be cut. Like they were feeling it. Patty Jenkins was feeling it. When you see the movie, you will know what I mean by which this entire segment of what they do. And it's basically you see like, yes, if you had to pick a moment for me, it was yes. This is when Diana became Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
This is her right there. And like, this is what I want. And oh my God, I'm tearing up a little bit. Because it's so passionate. It's so sincere. It's heartfelt heroics. And it's what we've been missing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we haven't paid attention to that. And I don't know why with this whole superhero genre that we don't want to get real.
The scene you're talking about, which is probably one of my top 10 scenes of any superhero movie ever. I think we're talking about the same scene.
Yes. we can say this. No Man's Land.
Yes. The No Man's Land scene was, I think, one of the strongest character cocoon moments. Like that moment where the character becomes the hero.
Yes.
That moment was like, it was visually that. It was physically that. It was emotionally that. Like there was so much to that scene. And it was so powerfully built up. Like you felt Chris Pine's character like wanting to stop her. You felt the other guys being like, what does she do? Everyone had an arc and continued an arc from that moment.
Yes.
And that's so hard because usually my problem with a lot of superhero movies is after the cocoon moment, everything kind of falls away. You know what I mean? Like, and now they're Wonder Woman. Peace. Like nothing else. And this didn't have that. It just escalated the stakes, which is what good writing does and what good directing does. Nothing felt like it was different. It just felt like it was new. Does that make sense? Like it just got bigger. And Patty Jenkins, like there was so much heart and beauty. The directing in this, like the
it's obvious that she had to fix a lot of things though,
so
because
amazing.
I'm And she did such a great job about it. It's like everything. Well, not everything. Nothing's perfect. There's some things that I'm just like, oh, okay, that was a little bit too 70s of a moment for me. For instance, the ending. But continuing on, I'm not gonna go into that. But for what it was, yes, it totally deserves this 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, her performance.
Yeah, Gal Gadot. She
was a beast.
She is what you want Wonder Woman to be.
Her fighting was beautiful and elegant, but fierce. Her character was naive and loving, but intelligent. It's so hard to play naive and intelligent.
She didn't know the society. That didn't make her an idiot.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't go, like, dumb. She went naive, but loving and compassionate. Yeah. And that's, like, how the world should be more of. Like, if you don't know something, don't hate it. Love it.
It's like she's right, even though she wasn't right in that situation. It's like, oh, yeah, I can see why that works.
Her enjoying ice cream was more important than most superhero movies moments get to be. You know what I mean? That was a moment
that was touching. I loved her naivete of always, like, when she was like, how do you fight in this, these little things about taking in the times contemporaneous of clothing and culture, and being like, this makes no sense. Like, I'm a fighter and I don't understand why you're wearing these weird little garbs or anything like that. Just little touches in writing were great.
The opening on Paradise Island with all of the Amazons training was staggering. Like, I didn't know how much I needed that scene. Like, when I just landed on this island and there's just, like, these powerful women just handling their own. And, like, Robin Wright is... Ooh. Everything Robin Wright does is, like, can she run for president?
Yeah.
This movie was that plus being a superhero. Yeah. And then, like, I want to give full credit to Chris Pine. The dude was a leading man in a movie not about him. And he was a supporting character with a leading man arc. That's so hard to do. Like, he didn't outshine her. He didn't distract from her. He built her up.
So it can be done with that secondary character, no matter their gender.
That's what I mean. It's like,
that's great.
He played
Let's
that
Let's continue that. And because we enjoy that.
That chemistry. And, like, his humor and, like, the style of humor that worked. And, like, I loved so much of it.
Yeah.
That was light spoilery.
Light spoiler.
I think, we didn't go too in depth with things.
So if you haven't seen it yet, you should go watch it. If you guys want to talk to us about it, tweet us. I didn't want to spend too much time on our show talking about it, but I did want to touch on it because the feud is silly. We are comic fans that read comics, and guess what? Wonder Woman's a comic, and it was great. So we should all celebrate it, not try to cause some sort of riff or problem, because it's an achievement for all of us. And if movies continue to be this good, we don't have to lose them. And if movies continue to have this message, we can actually start caring about each other instead of being dumb. So I think that this was important for 100 reasons, and I think Patty Jenkins needs to do everything, maybe. And Gal,
or, you know, more female directors.
Directors.
I hope production studios start to. This is going to change their whole, like, outlook on certain properties.
Give me She-Hulk. Give me Black She-Hulk. Widow. Give me Spider-Woman. Yeah. Give me everything.
Everything. It's going to push the writing up too for everybody.
Right, because it has to be.
It has to be because now it's a new bar now.
Those two scenes, the writing of those two scenes for me, the London and the boat scene, that is now my bar of mortal immortal interactions. Like, that is so cool.
Mm-hmm. It was executed so well. The first two acts were great. The third, you know, you can, your opinion
most
can matter.
Most superhero movies have problems,
but they always have their issues. But this was just so well constructed. It's got to change the game for everybody.
Yeah,
every
and,
character,
and it deserved to make $200 million. Yes, I'm so glad I made all that money.
Is it $200 million already?
Worldwide.
I thought 100.
Worldwide. Worldwide.
Yeah, domestic. Worldwide.
103 right there
for the smash that 65 goal. Oh. Just like
done.
Yes, so obviously this is something that fans have been missing, and we want more of it. Yes, Patty Jenkins, yes, but yes, more female directors, more of a different voice with things, because this works. And it's been proven to work.
And versatility is how we keep things alive. We talk in the show all the time about, this genre versus that genre. Mm-hmm. This was something else. This is honestly what I wanted Cap 1 to be. So I really appreciate it existing, and fly your invisible jet and go see it. We'll actually close out. Yes. Where can they find you, Aaron?
You can find me on Twitter at Aaron Wilk or on Instagram at Pork is Joy. And thank you very much for having me on here. I appreciate
it. Thank you for these.
Yes, thank you.
Where can I find you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Markeia McCarty, MarkeiaMcCarty, or Snapchat, Darth Thinmints. Darth is in Vader. Thinmints is in Girl Scout cookies. I do Screen Junkies News, so you can catch me on there. And also, on Mondays, I do AfterBuzz on AfterBuzz TV, which is our sister network. I do WWE Raw After Show, and I just hosted last night's After Show, where it was the Raw After Extreme Rules. It was super funny. Had some great guests, you know, on the panel. So go ahead and check that out.
You can find me at CoyjanDreaU on Instagram and Twitter. I just did the Schmodown, and spoiler alert, it went well. So you can watch that now. I also do a lot of Screen Junkie stuff, and I just started this thing called Insta Reviews. I'm doing. I'm using my ability to speak very fast and enjoy media to tell you guys how I think about things in about a minute on Instagram. So if you want to see any of those specifically, if you have any requests about comics, about movies, about life, about books, send me a request. I'll make a video about it. And I love you guys so much. And thank you. Have a good show, week, thing, life. Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.